So I'm going to bring that down and I'm going to introduce our guest speaker today. This introducing him is easy, but there's so much to say. So many years ago, 9 years ago, I got the privilege of meeting this gentleman. Absolutely love him when he speaks. His demeanor is just completely, it's like butter. When he speaks, it's just so gentle, and he delivers information and messages in a way that you can understand. It's like talk to me like I'm five, you know, what's that? Talk to me like I'm five, like something I can understand. Now, he's an accountant, and so numbers and stuff make me kind of like my head go like this, but when he speaks, it's like one of those E.F. Hutton moments, you know, like you got to lean in. I'm not kidding you. When you hear Stephen speak, you're going to want more, more, more. And so we're honored, Mr. De Silva, that you have come to the East Coast to pour into us with this Prosperous Identity Workshop with Ray. We are just so honored. We can't say enough thank yous about this. It really, really. So here's a big house welcome for the butter man.
Thank you. That was, you know, is this me?
It can either one.
I travel for the introductions, apparently, because that was awesome. Never been described as butter.
So you know what they say, can't find a butter man.
Oh, man. Oh, that's fun. You guys, there is so much love in this house. I just love it. You guys are awesome. That's fun. Thank you so much for having me. Is this offensive if I lower this? Because I feel like I'm like the child at the parents' table. You know how that was? Thanks, man. I still have that problem. Yeah, that's good. When? That's good.
When?
That's
too low now.
No, this is perfect. Okay, this is good. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for the introduction. That's really an honor. But the real honor is mine to be here with you guys. Thank you so much. Especially a Sunday morning, those are the pulpit is a particularly important position in history and in the world, and it takes years to build it. You guys have ruined this one with this weird thing that happens up here. So, this crying thing, I don't know what that's about, because I'm a stone hard tough guy, right? And yeah, I kept getting things in my eyes and crying and weird stuff. And so this is a particularly strange pulpit, but strange in the right way. Yeah, it's tender. There's love in this house. It's just a really sweet place. So thank you so much for pastors granting me the privilege of being here. And Father, I want to bless this pulpit and the message. I know there's transition. That is just a healthy, wonderful thing happening right now, and it's done right. So, Father, I bless that in Jesus' name. Thank you for giving us models of done right, right? And thank you for that, God. I just ask you to drive stability into the soil, into the earth. I see it like four corners that are being hammered down, nailed in like a tent peg in each corner, and we just speak stability and strength and favor on this house. You would protect everyone who comes. And I ask that in Jesus' name. I fully expect it to happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. There's, I don't know why, I just want to quickly make a comment about the volunteers. That's the lifeblood of family and community. And so, I won't be participating. So it's kind of maybe funny for an outsider to encourage volunteering, but I do encourage you to do that. And you're right about that, Lisa, with the men. That's we're busy. It's a busy world, isn't it? We're also busy and tired. I mean, I go home at the end of the day and I'm tired, and I'm not the best volunteer. I'll admit that too. I'm with you, but just that is a good word, and I just pray that and encourage the men and the women, just let's get involved and, you know, doing things that the house needs. What a great message. So I just wanted to echo that. It kind of ties into today, but before I start ruining the morning, what I'll do is pray. And Jesus, we love you, and I thank you for this house. We ask you to join us today, but before you walk in, now I know you're here, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but you're a king in splendor that we can't imagine. And we have a house we are inviting you to, but we want to just make sure it's as close to heaven, your home, as we can get it. So we bind and loose in Jesus' name. That's a phrase Jesus used, and as best we understand, we bind anything that isn't heavenly, that isn't, you know, Christ-minded. And we set those things outside, and we post angels at the gates to keep them out. Because we're about to invite you into this house, and so before we do that, we loose the genius of Jesus in here. We loose the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We loose the mind of Christ. And we just ask God that that would occupy this place like a atmosphere. And now we say, please come closer and join us. Oh, you, I mean, you were here. The worship was beautiful, Father. When, and the prayer and the, even the announcements were cool. But, Lord, we really want to practice our skill of finding you and closing that gap and bumping into you. So we ask you to walk through the rows and the aisles. And those of us online, wherever you are, we ask, God, you would walk into their homes, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and just bump into us. Just knock us around like a daddy with his child, you know, just a safe, fun. There's that contact. We ask for that, that knocked around, bumped around, joyful presence right here. We invite you and welcome you. And we turn our attention to you for that. And Lord, we just ask that you would land your message in us. You would speak to us this morning so we will be changed more into Christ-like experience and livelihood and thinking and language and families and a state and a country. I ask that in Jesus' name. Yeah, amen. Amen. So I am going to talk about wrestling. Wrestling with God. I don't know really how. So there was, I had a dream in December, and I won't tell you the dream yet. I'll hold that out and keep some of you awake because some of you might be waiting for the dream, and the dream is pretty cool. You don't want to miss the dream, but I won't tell you that yet. What I want to start with is just thinking about the idea of wrestling. There's some cool. So I wrestled in high school. I wasn't any good, but I did wrestle. So the stories in the Bible, you know, Jacob wrestled, Rachel wrestled. When they wrestled, it has a tactile meaning for me. I relate to what it's like to just, you know, this was sports. So we'd get on the, you know, on the mat, and some other kid, some skinny kid, and we'd get out there and we'd wrangle with each other the best we could. And it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed wrestling, but when I became a Christian, I came to Christ when I was 16. I was right on the heels of a crisis in my life, and that crisis was at the end of a season that was rebellious. I was rebellious without a reason, you know. I was just kind of a dork, kind of just misbehaving, because I had parents that loved me very much, and so, but they were not believers. They came to Christ in the end of their lifetimes. They're both in heaven now. I can't wait to see them again. But so I grew up in a not an anti-Christ home, but just a Christ ambivalent home. Yeah, they're like, whatever, we were farming, a farming lifestyle. I didn't live on the farm. I lived in a city with my mother, and then in the summers I would live on this farm. And this farm, it was a ranch. We raised cattle and alfalfa, and I learned to work hard and you know, shoot things and gut things and eat things and all that cool stuff, which I really, and wrestle with dogs and all the fun stuff that happens when you're a kid, man. So that was my deal. But I, because I didn't have an experience with Christ through my childhood, and then I had a crisis in my life that led me to the Lord, it just bent me. It just broke me, that thing. And so my coming to Christ comes right out of, I think it's Psalm 32, a contrite spirit God will not despise. You know what contrite means? You picture a grape and then step on the grape. That's the definition of a contrite heart. So there I am. So I didn't, I came to Christ in a rescue. And as a rescue dog, you know, I'm now learning what is it like to have a Lord and somebody that I want to serve and love. And I'm understanding, you know, I got in some great churches, and they were beautiful Bible-teaching churches and fellowship churches. You know, fortunately, the beginning of my Christianity, I really was in some just beautiful family churches like this one, really relational. And that was really good for me. And through that, I realized I was in a wrestling match, a very private, secret wrestling match. And that was between what I wanted and what God wanted. Now, I wanted what God wanted because I never wanted to go back to the mess that I had made, and especially the emergency crisis thing that I had. It was a shooting accident, so just to get that out of the air. What was that? Well, that I don't ever want to do those things again, and I don't want to make the mistakes that led me to that, and I don't want to even have that kind of season of vacuum where I didn't know God. I don't want to ever do that again. And so... yes, Lord, I'm all yours, and I am. I'm all in. But I have this will. I want to do stuff. I want to have things. I think, you know, I'm talking about in my lifetime. I'm 16, 17, brand new believer. I just want stuff. I want to get married. I want to, and I did. I wanted to be as odd. I don't know why this was, but when I was a little boy, since I was a little boy, I wanted to be a grandpa. So funny. I don't know where that came from, except I had a beautiful grandpa that I lost when I was very, very young. I can barely remember him, but he was just an amazing, gentle farmer. He was just a beautiful man. He was the local, he was the town fiddler. Yeah. He was the fiddler of the town. We still have his fiddles, so he was a pretty cool guy. But... I don't know. I think this is common, so I'm hoping people can relate. There's this battle inside of us, especially, it was very loud at first, and then I learned the nuance of Christian, you know, how to look right and act right and not say things that are out loud, and everybody goes, oh, you want that? You know, like, you know, I'm sorry, you know, no, I don't want that, you know. And I learned how to kind of disguise and fit into this community, this Christian community. I got good enough at it that somehow I ended up on a staff as a paid guy to be walking around pretending. So that was cool. And so, yeah, I served in the church for 20 years as a senior, as a accountant guy in a church, a CFO. And so, but I never lost the battle of the will. God's will versus Steve's will, right? I had a dream that educated me a little bit about that, and that's what I want to share. Is I've learned, now I'm talking about the other side of the dream, I began to realize, duh, God is good, you know? And, oh, God planted will in us because will is a mechanical function of our soul. And guess what? That's why we're not dogs and cats. You know, we have a soul. God breathed into us life, and we are an image of Him in some fashion. And which I don't understand that theologically, but I can get there. It's like, okay, so I just wanted to touch on this idea of soul. Now, excuse me, the idea of will. And where I'm going is the idea of a redeemed ambition. okay, that we can have, that maybe there's such a thing as, I'm still in this hunt, so I don't want to say that I've solved it all the mysteries. I'm saying this is where I think I've found a crack of light in this dark area of my life. It's like, oh, what's this? There's such a thing as a redeemed will or a redeemed ambition. Like, what I want isn't something to be stuffed down or denied. Now, it needs to be something to heal. Yeah. It has to be something to be prepared, so to speak, you know, like by the Holy Spirit, so that it is into some version of Christ-like, something that matches God's will, right? Of course, I mean all of those things, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but I've got a whole hour, 45 minutes to fill, and I'm used to, you know, accountants, I would normally just give up, give here's the dream and here's the point, thank you. But that only would take me 15 minutes, and I understand I need to do 45, so I'm trying to stretch it out. I know you would say that, and I don't doubt it on this weird pulpit, but... yeah, I don't want to do that. It okay. I'm watching the clock.
That means nothing.
No, I believe that too. Wow. Totally. So I learned to distrust my will. Okay. So when I say I learned, I didn't distrust it until I came to Christ. Before that, I didn't know any better, and I was just pretty young, so my will was kind of, I didn't even think I had a will. You know, it's like, I do what I want. And that did get me into trouble. That was that little rebellious season from probably 13 on until I was saved. And of course, that rebellious season is still kind of hanging around. But I understood that there were seasons in my life. And so when I came to Christ, the problem emerged. I realized, I don't think I can trust myself. Because I'll give you a great example. I teach about money, and not really about money. I don't really care about money, to be honest. Unfortunately, I found out that life is a lot easier with it than without it. Okay? And then I found out that, if I'm asking God to bless me, and he does, and I think rich people are evil, then am I asking God to make me into an evil person? You know, I got to resolve some of these crazy schisms I have in my head. I got to put them down. So one of my fears with my will is that what if God blesses me to the point that I have the ability to make choices and have what I want? What if he does? What if God gives me enough money to get what I want? What would I do with that information? I think that's really scary. In fact, it's a real conundrum, because I've been wanting to use that word, by the way, for a long time. Finally figured it out. Okay. It's a conundrum twice in one day, because if money is power and he gives it to me and I do what I want and then he's offended, or how does this work? You know, is that what happens? I offend God. I sin, I make some bad choices. What do I then do? Do I go back to jail, heart jail? Do I get punished and lose everything? It's just very complicated. Oh, Lord, can I figure out how not to do that? So my solution, this was a bad solution, was I'm just going to kill my will. You know, some things I fought for, and I'll tell you what I fought for. I wanted Donna, my wife, Donna. My wife, Donna, yeah. My first wife, who happens to be the same wife that I'm still married to. I wanted her. I wanted that girl. And for some reason, she has a sight problem, and she wanted me back. Or a judgment problem. Something happened, and she wanted me back, so... Wow, I didn't ask God's permission. I just took it. And then, of course, I find out later that was God's will. You know, that's the wrong way to do that. Because if you just take things and then hope that God blesses it, okay, this is just for me looking in the mirror. That was okay. I'm learning. That's not how this works. But I didn't know how to risk not having Donna or not having my two sons. Ooh, I got to be careful because I'm feeling the water level rise right there. Woo, I'm going to step right out of that. I felt it, but I'm getting smarter. Oh, no. You just hush, be still, speaking to the waves that are going on. Wow, this is weird up here. Okay. Yeah, man, it's flowing. I figured it out, though. Last night I was talking to God. I was embarrassed. Lord, what? That was embarrassing. He said, tomorrow, stand on a chair. Okay, so if this gets too rough, I'm grabbing that chair and I'm standing out of the water. I think it'll work. I don't know. I did. That's what I was talking to the Lord last night. That's what he said. Okay, that's a cool idea. I think he might be tricking me, but he does that. So I don't know if it's relating what I'm talking about, but the problem of distrust and what's the order and what if we just do God's will and that means I don't get really important things to us? How does that work? Is that this massive disappointment engine that we just have to step into and get spanked by? Is that how that works? You know, so that's the problem or the conversation that I want to have here. Yeah, so I covered that. Well, this is going to be a short message. Yeah, I think that I first realized, now when I say first realized, I'm talking about just since last December. So it dawned on me, wait, my will, I understand it needs to be turned. Like there's this verse in Proverbs that the king's heart is like a channel of a river, and God turns it in the hands of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes, right? So I think the will is like that. And I don't know about that I'm a king, but I don't think that. But I do think I'm strong in my heart. Like I know what I want, and I just know stuff. It's like I'm not timid. I've lived timid. I was timid. I don't feel timid now. I feel untimid, unfragile now, okay? I know that I'm not, you know, the Rock, Dwayne Johnson or something. I don't even know anything about him. But, you know, I know I'm not all tough. But timidity is gone. And I really like that. So this heart thing, I think, is like, okay, I like that. I think we are like a channel of a river. I just need to yield God to turn it because I don't want to kill my will. I don't want to become will-less. I think there's a phrase, this is a bit of a leap, but I think these things off in my head, they're like sparks. I think there's a feminization of men going on in America. I wonder if that isn't the death of the will. I could be wrong. I don't have a problem with effeminate anyone's. I just don't care. I don't think about that, but I don't relate as a man to being feminine. But it's not about my sexuality. It's about my will. It's like I have a man's will. And I don't want that to die. I don't think it should die. I think that has to be fought for and protected. Now, I think in Christ, I'm going to have to hand it to someone I trust, and there's no one I trust except the Savior. Now, that one, okay, you I trust because you, whoa, whew, you pulled me from some scary places. So I trust you. You've proven that. That is not to be debated or questioned again. I get that. I can hand my will to God and he'll turn it. Okay. Now, I can see if I'm willing something that is evil and I don't want to sacrifice my will, I realize I need God to steer me away from that. You know, he taught us that in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. I just think that's a river turn, because I mean, that's what temptation is. It's like, oh, I want that. I want that shiny thing. And it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I don't want to live a Christian life where I'm resisting my will. That is like a thing I want to be done with. I want my will to be equal or aligned with God's, and I want to be ferocious in that will and quit tippy-toeing around and being all fragile. That's just like, what? That can't align with John 10:10. Jesus came to give us life abundantly beyond. You know, he's the builder of life. He didn't design us with this weird schism problem and think, oh, that's good enough. I'm bored, you know, and walk away. He finished us perfectly. He finished us. We are, what is the phrase? I lost it. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you. I love that phrase. Okay, I'll step back in. That's good. Anyway, that's my thinking. Now, I don't have answers, but I get, now, so the December is this. So right over here, this is January. Okay. And right here is December, I don't know, 2nd or whenever I had the dream. I actually wrote it down. I know the date, but it's not here in the notes. So this is that date in December of 2023. And then I'm over here still wandering around. And okay, so I'm actually in, let's see, what was my date? Somewhere in the year of 2023. I'm reading through my book of John. Do you have that book? Yeah, it's a good book. New York Times bestseller, the book of John. Yeah, I'm talking about the Bible. Anyway, so in the Bible, the book of John. Yes, you have, these are the right answers. Go like this. Yes, yes, yes. It is a good book. It's a bestseller. It's part of a bigger collection, but I'm reading, and John says this, actually, John, so years later after Jesus, John is now writing his gospel, right? He's telling us some things that Jesus said, and so he's quoting Jesus. Let me get it down here. This just blows me away. John 15, the book of John just messes with my head. You know, I get Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I just get them, but John plays with my head. So he must have been a very interesting guy. John 15, verse 7. This is Jesus speaking. Well, he's quoting Jesus. If you abide in me, oh, remember, now we're talking about this turned river. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That's red letters. That's Jesus talking. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. I'm like, wow, that is a hectic phrase. That is super challenging, because that brings me back to my will. Whatever I wish? Man, are you sure? I hope that was Jesus said that. Let me check. Yeah, it's written in red ink. Jesus said it. So I am, this wrestling match with will gets stirred up again like coals. And it's, so this, you know, in the year 2023, I am just studying, what in the world does this mean? And how do I wish the right stuff? Because James tells us, if you ask and don't receive, you're asking amiss. All right, so help me connect the dots here, Lord. How do I wish rightly? Because you know what? I'm stepping out. I wish stuff. I want to get stuff done. I want to figure out how to get this right. I want to figure out how do I ask from heaven and get his answers and then deploy them, actually get them going. I want to figure that out, at least at my scale. And that's one of those things, that's my will. I want to do that. And so this is all stirred up. I have a dream. Bing, we finally made it. For those of you ready to check out, wake back up. Here's the dream. It was the coolest dream. I know it was a God dream because it was all in color, and I could remember it, everything. It was like that. I wake up thinking, that is the coolest dream. So in this dream, I'm standing in this green forest. There's trees. It did look like some of the forested areas around here, but the ground was all grass and green and lush. It was just absolutely gorgeous. It was quiet and peaceful. And Jesus was standing there with me, and I'm standing with him, and we're just listening to the sound. And I'm just enjoying this dream. It seemed to go on for quite a while that we were just standing there. And in front of us is a stump, a tree stump. It was cut off about this high, and it was a big stump, so it was at one time a very big tree. The wood was still wet. Now, we cut a lot of wood, so maybe you guys know you don't split wet wood because the axe just bounces right out, right? You just literally, it just bounces off until it's dry, and that's why you let it. Yeah. So this thing is not seasoned. It is a in-the-ground rooted stump this tall, and it's big around, and it's there, and I didn't notice it at first, and we're looking at it, and Jesus says, You should split that stump. And now in my head, that's an axe, a big awl, you know, whack, you know, that's going on in my head. And I go, oh, that can't be done. I didn't say it. I just thought, oh, that's not ready. That's not even seasoned. It's still in the ground. I don't think I can split that. And he says, oh, yeah, you can. You can split that with your will. If you want to split it, you can split it. And I said, well, I don't know how to use my will. And he goes, and it was so funny because in the dream, Jesus is like, oh, he was so personal. He was like, oh, let me show you how to do it. It's really fun. I go, okay. And he goes, watch this. And he goes, you stand right here. I go, okay. And he goes, you acknowledge what's true. And I said, okay. And when he did that, three little silver axes appear over the tree trunk. Just, I mean, they're only this long. I'm like, huh. So he goes, you stand right here. Okay. He goes, you acknowledge what's true. Ding. I'm like, wow. And then he says, and then you use your will. And when he says that, the axes go boom. The three little axes. Can you picture it? These little teeny axes floating in the air go about this hard. They go, boom, on this stump. I'm like, what? Huh. Okay. And he goes, and then you do it again. You got to do it three times. You go, you ready? Yeah. He goes, you stand right here. What's true? And then you split it. You use your will. And the little axes hit a second time. Boom. On the top of this tree trunk. He says, and I'm just watching, and he looks at me, and he smiles at me. It was the funniest thing. He's having so much fun with this lesson. I'm like, huh, I was having more fun with him than the tree trunk. I was just, you're hilarious. And he goes, I know, right? I go, okay. And he goes, we got one more to go. Okay, this is fun. What do you do? I go, well, you stand right there. Yeah. He goes, I say, you say the truth. He goes, yeah. And then you use your will. And the little axes go, boom. And this tree trunk impossibly goes, and breaks open. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And he goes, I know, right? Isn't that fun? I go, that's incredible. And he goes, yeah, yeah. Now you do it. What? There's another one. And he goes, do that one. I get to use my will? Yeah, but you got to do it right. Oh, all right. So he says, what are you going to do? Oh, well, I'm going to stand right here, which is abiding Christ. Okay. I'm going to stand right here. Woo, water level. Woo, water table. Tear warning. Here we go. Okay. I'm going to abide in Christ. Got it. You're going to say the truth, whatever the truth is. Now, the truth, and I've got some verses I'll give you here in a minute, but I'm not saying these are the one way. You know, we're so formula weird. So let's just be careful here and not go, oh, Steve gave us the formula to get our will done. No. Steve's explaining this weird little experiment that I'm trying to figure out, but I know for sure we got to stand right here. We got to abide in Christ. We've got to abide in Christ. Let me give you that one. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, so his words abide in us, if that's going on, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Verse 8, the next word, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You know why fruit matters? Because that was the first words given, recorded in the Bible, from God to man, be fruitful and multiply. It's as fundamental as cells, bone. It's in us to be fruitful and multiply. And Jesus is saying, yeah, you want to do that, because that glorifies, verse 8, my Father is glorified by this. Can't you just hear the, it's probably the wrong word. I'm sorry. I'm a cowboy. Is pride. I just hear Jesus is so proud of his Father in this verse. It just leaks out for me. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. I want to be fruitful. We do. We want to figure out how to fire this cannon that is our will. We need to learn how to aim. We need some skill level testing, right? We need to develop our skills. And that channel of a river metaphor is so powerful to me, because that's, I just see God turning our cannon. Ooh. Aiming in it. Woo. And adjusting. Just adjusting us. And do that, Lord. Adjust our hearts, Father in heaven. Father, we give you our hearts and our will. We acknowledge our will. Can I say it? We love the fact that we have a will. I will say it for me. You guys work this out. I'm just, Lord, I love the fact of will, that there's such a thing. I acknowledge my will is sometimes a loose cannon, but God, I give you my will. Teach and train me, train us on how to aim our will. We acknowledge your will is supreme. It's not only better, smarter, more effective, more correct, more just, but it is more fun. It satisfies the desires of our heart. It's a well that we can drink from. It's a rich well. It's not a thing that we have to be afraid, oh, if I yield my will, I would sacrifice my marriage to Donna because I would have never met her or something like that. I think if that thing was in there, God knows it exactly. He knows exactly how to match you to your partner or get you in the right career or direct you through a dangerous transition or a scary season or economics right now, right? You know, it'll walk us through. We can trust his will. He's not only genius. I'm talking about God. He's good, and I don't even know if that word is big enough to wrap around his goodness. He's divinely excellent. And people, I'm looking at my young years, my inability or my resistance to bending my knee was so foolish, because God will fulfill the desires of our heart. He will. That's how good he is. He is the wealth of nations. He's what we need. John 15, verses 7 and 8. So I'm back to my dream, and then I'll wrap up. I stood right here. The dream is still happening, and I understand that it's abiding in Christ. I had studied long enough to realize where I stand has to be abiding in Christ. I knew that part. Okay. Then I have to know the truth. Now, here's the truth. How do you abide in Christ? Oh, my word. That one has wrapped me around the axle for a while. But this is what I realize. It's in the same chapter. So if you get nothing else out of today, go read John chapter 15 like 10 times. You know what I mean? Just take your time. Read that one chapter. Now, he talks about abiding throughout. So the whole book is stunning. In fact, if you haven't known it, noticed, the Bible is pretty amazing. The Word of God is pretty smart. God is smart. So, but John 15, in verse 10, wait. Yeah, I'll do verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So he drops. Now, I don't know how Jesus actually taught this, but remember, John, the Apostle John, is later writing the letter, and he's recalling. Now, I think he was supernaturally inspired, and it came out, because I think the Word of God is divine. But I don't know how Jesus actually taught, but we are reading how John recalled the lessons. So in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, so Jesus, I'm going to command you. Think, he's proven he's the Messiah. He's proven he's the Son of God at this point. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands. He's literally saying, do like me. I do what I see my Father doing. I do that. I do what he says. I agree with that, and that's how I abide with him, and he abides with me. He says, you now do that with me. Okay. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Okay. And then this is the truth part of our will exercise. Verse 12, this is my commandment. Oh, I'm so glad he said that. Or at least I'm so glad John wrote it down. He finally goes, okay, here's what I'm telling you to do. This is going to be easy for you guys. That you love one another. Just as I have loved you. That's his command. Love one another. Wait, oh gosh. The dot to dot gets, this is like one dot to dot. One dot to one other dot. This complexity goes, boop, oh, that's it? That's what we're doing? Yeah. Stand right here. Abide in Christ. How do I abide in Christ? I'm going to keep his commandments. I'm going to love one another. Okay, I'm going to learn how to love like he did. Okay, it's not worldly love or raccoon love or whatever love we have, you know, our artificial fake imitation love that we have around us. Like, okay, let's love like Jesus loved. Okay, there's more to learn. But we're turning our canon. We're setting the little axes up. Do you see this? Jesus is still standing here. It's still in my dream. He says, you stand right here. I said, I would stand right here. Yes, good. He said, I would say the truth. I would understand the truth. What's the truth? I said it all weekend. It's the mind of Christ. The Jesus ideas are the top of the food chain, man. Let's get those things in us and operate in them. Let's do our best to obey that, to walk in that, to keep his commandments. And then what do? I think you fire your cannon. So I go, well, I think I just kind of say, chop. And the little axes go, boom, in my dream. Remember, they're three silver axes. They're 2 inches long, and they're hanging right there above this tree stump. He said, good, do it again. I said, okay. Chop. Boom. He laughs. One more time. Okay. Chop. And this tree stump cracks right open. And he laughs like he's in this dream, and this could just be some chemical reaction. I don't know how atheists do it. How do they do that atheist stuff? You know, but somehow maybe some chemical reaction went off in my mental brain organ, and I had this imagination. But I think Jesus laughs with his head thrown back, and it's just from the belly. He just thinks it's hilarious. And he loves our will. And he's not afraid of our will. They're not enemies. God's will and our will are not enemies. But we need to aim our cannons. We need to learn, and we know how to do that. We need to yield that. We need to just give our heart, our will to the Lord and trust. Oh, this is going to be a good ride. Man, that's revival. You know, once we see it, people will run to Jesus. Because this is way better than the alternatives. Well, I managed to stretch this out, so I'm pretty proud of myself right now. And I haven't cried one time that I know of. So I feel like this is a good day. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take just a couple more minutes, but you're actually going to do the work. I want you to just, so this is this little pond that I'm standing in, I know is an altar, yeah? I imagine some God stuff happens up here all the time. So that's what I'd like to do with the rest of the morning. I'm basically done. For you, those of you stretching your short attention span, I really appreciate that. But here's the deal. We're done. But I'm going to give you an opportunity, and I'm going to take the opportunity to exercise my will. I'm going to do some will exercises. I'd love for you to come along. I want to start with this. I want to just pique your interest. What is it you want? What are you wishing for? Now, don't say it out loud, because you run the risk of, you know, judging, being judged, right? Oh my gosh, you wish that? So just keep it under your hat. I want you to think about what you wish for. What are you dreaming about? What is it you have in your heart? We're not talking, you know, in Jesus' name yet. We're just saying, what do you want? Some of us, I know, can't even go there. It's like too scary. That's where I was. I don't know if anyone in here is. But if that's someone in here that you're so afraid of admitting what you want, I just want you to relax for a minute. I want you to sit in your seat with your palms up and just, okay. And then I want you to turn to one side with your eyes closed. You're looking with the eyes of your heart and realize Father God is literally sitting right beside you. You're not alone. He's right there. I want you to reconnect with Father God. Remember, we invited him in. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is sitting there, probably on your other side, and they're probably touching. They're probably leaning against you shoulder to shoulder. Just practice that. I want you to, here's a secret. He knows everything already. So what are you really wishing for? Is it healing? Is it financial? Is it relational? Is it a rescue? Is it a protection? Is it a breakthrough? Is it peace? Is it the end of a battle? I don't know, and I don't care to know. I just want you to think about that. And just talk to the Lord about it. He knows all about it anyway. Ask this, Father God, do I need to adjust that? Is there any adjustments to this? And if, yeah, and I do hear some, so I can sense some of us have wishes that need to be adjusted. That isn't a sin. What you're doing is being fathered by your Father in heaven. You're allowing God to change your channel, the river that flows through you. Just let that happen for a minute. If there's something that you feel him adjusting, agree with that. Yes, Lord, because we trust you. You're that good. I'm going to take a risk that God is good here and just let you say, and just say yes to you, God. Yeah, I'm going to surrender that thing. I'm going to allow you to adjust it, to turn me right here a little bit. Now, with that adjustment, I invite you to come up and to use your little axes. Now, up here, this is the abiding Christ zone. This pond, this beautiful altar, is a great place to come and abide in Christ for this exercise. Realize you bring this pond everywhere you go. You have it in your bedroom. You have it in your kitchen. You have it at work. You may not be aware of it, but you can practice it more and more. It's the lesson Jesus taught me. Okay, you stand right here. Okay. That's all that is reconnecting. Okay, what does it mean? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Oh, I am abiding in Christ. Got it. Right here. And then speak the truth. What is God said to you? What is it about the thing in front of you that you need to break? Is this is what stump, what stubborn, wet stump is in your way in the field in front of you that you need to get that dude out? Stumps, man. I've worked against stumps. They don't give up. What do you need busted? I want you to look at that stump. I want you to abide in Christ. And when you're ready, I want you to come up here and do some chomping. You're going to speak to that stump the truth. This is what God says. And then you're going to ask God. You're going to take an action. And the action is going to be like firing a cannon in your life. It's going to be the destruction. Whoa, the destruction of that stump. I call for the splitting of stumps, of hard places for this people in this room and online today. I speak to those stumps to bow. I can say a testimony. I've seen stumps break in my life. Since December, I've been practicing, and I am just giving you a testimony. Stumps break. They're impossible in the natural, but you know what? All things are possible with God. So that's the end of my message. Now we're ministry time. Father, I thank you for being here. I do ask you to direct our cannons. We give you, yield you our will to be adjusted, but we're not killing our will. We understand you gave us that. Lord, I ask for a miracle today in anyone who has a stump to be broken. That as by faith they come up and stand here and under their breath speak the truth. This is what you said, God. That as they, exercise their will, I want that thing broken, they will in fact break. Financial stumps, healing, health stumps, relationship problems, all of it. All of it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have a desire, I'd invite you to come up. I've prepared the water. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now you can do this. I'm just agreeing with you in Jesus' name, Father. We ask God that you'll adjust this. You'll get her feet. We place our feet in the right place. I want you to move your feet just a little bit by faith. There you go. You're standing in, you're abiding in Christ. You're going to acknowledge what God's will is. This is God's idea. whoa. And then you go to do some chopping. Okay. You call that thing down in Jesus' name. Father, I just bless. All those stumps down in Jesus' name. Those hard places, those hard things in Jesus' name. Bless. Whoa! Father, we're not afraid of our will. We yield our will and we use our will. Let your will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, I do see the stumps. I can hear them cracking. So I bless what's happening right now. Whoa. It is working. As you stand in this spot, you're abiding in Christ. We're practicing a skill. Whoa. I just bless you guys in Jesus' name. What you're stepping into. You got this. You are not fragile. You got this. You are strong. Bless, bless. The thing that you want, Father, we just tune our cannon and we fire that thing. We strike that. We don't know how to swing these axes, but they swing for us. Father, it's so easy. Jesus, you laughed at how easy it was. Bless, bless, bless. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I'm asking testimonies fall out of this day. Whoa. Like rainfall. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you. Father, build this skill in us. Build the skill. Train us to break these obstacles completely. I ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Whoa. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Those of you who are seated, that is fine. And anyone is at home, I don't know if we're still projecting that. But I just pray right where you're sitting, or wherever you're watching from, that your stumps will break. Whoa. Your stumps will break. Those hard places will yield. Thank you, Father. Oh, I thank you, Father. It's fun to walk through the cracked pieces. Thank you for that we can walk through the cracked pieces. And I just pray, Jesus, we get to have fun. And laugh the way you laugh, Jesus, at our what I thought was so hard, and it turns out to be so fun, so easy, and so rich. Father, I bless this house. I bless what you're doing here in Delaware, and I ask you to develop it and grow it, prosper it, lengthen the stride of everyone here. Let what they're trying to accomplish go farther in the natural than their natural abilities take them. It's like you lengthen their stride. I ask it, and I leave a blessing on this house. Thank you, Father. Whoa. I bless that, Father. Yeah. Thank you, Father. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. What an awesome, awesome ending to a powerful, powerful weekend. As Stephen, as you were sharing this with the canon, I'll just share what I saw for me was that when, you know, to shoot a cannon, you have to load a cannon. And when I went to, you know, I saw the cannon there, and I'm like, what do I put in it? And I just felt like Jesus said, put your mustard seed in the cannon and fire it. That's what I was hearing kind of the whole thing about the abiding in Christ is, and when we are in that place, one of the things I asked when I was just up here, I was like, well, you know, what am I going to do? And he said to me, you can do anything if you're in me. So maybe I just, you know, encourage us as a church and for those who may be still watching online, choose to step into that place where we are in Christ. And from that place, then ask, what is it you would have me to do? I asked him that one time about 30 years ago when I wasn't even walking with him. And, you know, and I said this verbatim. I'll never forget this because this is probably the first time in my life I ever heard that I know that I heard the audible voice of God. And I said to God 30 years ago, what is it you want me to do? And it scared me to death when he responded. And he said to me, he said, Robert, he called me by my name. And he said, just carry your message. And I've wrestled with that for 30 years. And it's just starting to make sense. That I'm starting now to fully embrace what my message is. And that can be one of a couple different things, depending on where I'm abiding. So today, let's choose to abide here in this place and carry our message. Just carry our message. And you know, I also saw, you know, there was a time when Lisa and I were in a big, giant group of people that were, and it was a very dark, dark, dark space. Remember that, babe? In Philly.
Oh,
and we went to see a friend of ours band play, and there was a lot of stuff in that place. And, when we walked in there the first night of this festival, we weren't prayed up, and we knew it. As soon as we walked in, we were like, whoa. We could feel it. It was like this thing grabbed right a hold of my chest, and we were like, okay, shift. So we shifted the atmosphere. We recognized it. We knew it. The following day, we were in there, and we were ready. And you could barely move in this place because of so many people. And this is about the will, I think, Stephen, is we chose to go somewhere. And as we walked, it wasn't intentional, just it was like a Red Sea moment. If I needed to get from here to the restroom, I didn't have to struggle to get from there to the restroom. It just, everything opened up for us. And it was a choice to say, I need to go from here to there. So just I'm equating that to if I see Jesus there and I'm here, nothing is going to get in my way to get to him. And not that I'm going to walk through you. I'm going to honor you as I walk around you. And you're going to move because I will that because my will is focused there. It's awesome, man. Thank you so much for today. So we release you guys. If anybody needs prayer, we'll have someone up here to pray with you. But gosh, just go and practice this. If there's anything that we got from this weekend is that word, practice. And it takes training and it does take practice, but practice can be fun. So let's have fun with this thing, gang, and let's just practice that thing. If you're feeling separated from God, ask him to come close. He's there. So we bless you guys. Have a great week, and we will see you back here with a lot of joyful noises on the stage next week. So we're looking forward to that. Thank you, guys.